Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breakthrough Directions. Each week, Breakthrough Directions explores the two faces of your business, outward through marketing and client delivery, and inward, your vision, profit model, systems, team, and you, so you can grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. I am calling to you live this week from sunny, wonderful Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do on each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We have got a fantastic show lined up for you guys today. We have my friend and co-host, Linda Feinholz, the founder of the Breakthrough Academy at breakthroughbydesign.com. She is calling in live this week from Los Angeles. Hello, Linda.
Hello, hello. It's foggy here.
Oh, I hope it's at least warm and foggy, not cold and foggy.
No, it's becoming cold and foggy, but that's okay because we've got Scott Smith with us today. He's the founder and chief motivating officer of Motivation to Move, and he's going to be getting the fog out of our way, because he's an expert in daily motivation to help you stay focused until you reach your goals. And what I was so excited about, I met Scott at a conference, and the more he talked about his world shaped around podcasting, I knew I wanted him on our program. He's a pioneer in the world of podcasting because he launched on iTunes in early 2005, just bare months after podcasts were invented. And today he's got his Daily Boost podcast, which is a YouTube top-ranked self-help podcast, and that's a position he's held for 6 years. I can't think of anyone more masterful than Scott to come share with us how he's literally built a business around podcasting.
So, well, Scott, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you. Glad to be here. By the way, in Orlando, it is 73 and absolutely beautiful with no fog.
Yeah, see, it's warm and sunny here, too. It's really awesome.
Gorgeous.
I will dream of Orlando today.
Well, listen, I have been to Los Angeles many times, and in middle of August and July here in Orlando, L.A. is a great place to be.
It's true. It's true. So, Scott, one of the things I want to share with our audience is the fact that it's not as though in 2005 you just said, I think I'll do a podcast. You had a long, very successful history in broadcast. And I'd really like to help our entrepreneurs, speakers, authors, business folks understand what happens when we pay attention to what's changing with technology. So I'd really love it if you would share who you were before podcasting even existed.
Who I was? Still kind of the same guy, yeah. I think pretty much. I had done radio. All I ever wanted to do was be in radio from the time I was about, 15 or 16. If there was a talent show at the local high school, I was hosting it back then. And I got into radio early on, typical top 40 shock jock kind of thing, and it really wasn't my thing. I enjoyed doing it. I love broadcasts, but I thought there was more that I could do, and so I kind of went through a lot of the broadcasts. I did. I worked in Washington D.C., San Francisco, Miami, and then in Orlando, and I kind of moved out of that into voiceover work and started doing a lot of work for most of the major networks. If you've been on Disney Cruise Lines down around Universal Studios or Disney World here, you probably heard my voice. Then I got into television production. And along the way, I had this thing going on about motivation and inspiration. In 1986, I was hired to be part of the crew, the original crew of the Motivation Station in Pompano Beach, Florida, which eventually became the Winners News Network. And I was hired to basically host motivational clips of all the big guys, the Brian Tracys and Zig Ziglars of the world. So I had kind of had that in me a little bit. And as I began to work through radio a bit more and work through all the careers I was doing, I said, you know what, there's got to be more here. And I was really looking to get into a world that I could kind of share my own views and frankly, build a business that was consistent. I was a freelance guy at the time. I didn't like the ups and downs of money. And I said, I got to find something. I also should mention I was a fat guy. that I weighed about 248 pounds. And at 5'9", I was basically round. And I had decided to lose the weight after going to the doctor one day. And the doctor said to me, you know, hey, you got to take the blue pills because you're over 40, so you got high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and all that stuff. Frankly, it scared me to the gym. Well, I ran to the gym, and what I found was that I was bringing my motivational, my radio work, out in the gym as I was talking to people, and then I started teaching classes at the gym. I started teaching kickboxing. And I was in this room teaching all the time, and I realized that, wow, all these motivational skills I have, the broadcast work I'd done is coming to play now entertaining these people. And I got real frustrated because I realized I had maxed my room out. I had no other place to share my message, but I knew I wanted to share it. So I was looking. Frankly, I was out there looking for a place to share my motivation to move message. And then one day, I'll never forget it, I was surfing that thing they called the interweb.
Oh, yeah.
And it was about January of 2005. I believe, was it Adam Curry, I think, was one of the creators of podcasting. They basically figured out how to put an enclosure into an RSS feed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about January. I think they figured that out in maybe November. And I remember clear as day, I walked into the living room to my wife, and I said, got it, found it, figured it out. It's just like radio, but it's online. I can do this. And I sat down. And now from that point, you have to understand that I didn't have any ideas. I had a little bit of an idea. I'll talk about that in a minute if you want to, about how I might start. But I had to build a website. I had to figure out an RSS feed. I had to figure out how to get people to listen to it. It took me 4 months to figure it out.
This is really important because we're talking about 2005.
Yeah.
Folks who are listening now are very used to day in and day out using the internet, using email, going to websites, clicking on links. None of this was familiar in 2005.
Not at all. A lot has changed. Life is so easy now compared to what it used to be.
Yeah.
If only from a trust standpoint, and just people are familiar with it. Back then, they didn't know, what's an RSS feed? How does this work? So I had to figure it all out, and I did. And I remember launching the show. I launched the Motivation to Move Minute. It was a 60-second podcast. And I sat down, I wrote 260 of them, which I figured in my own little brain would give me one per day every weekday of the year. And I started putting up one a day. And the emails started to fly back to me. And I said, wow, we got something going here. So then I launched a 30-minute show called the Motivation to Move Show. About that time, I got wind that iTunes was actually going to be putting podcasts on iTunes. Remember, it wasn't there in the beginning. I sent my submission, and I was one of the first people to be placed on iTunes when they went live. It was the weekend of July 4th, 2005. And that's where it all started. That's how I got it all going, and we haven't looked back, and we haven't stopped since then.
What a great story.
It's so
good. Yeah, except I wasn't making any money.
You were the geek at the head of the prow of the ship going, I don't know, let me see.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, a good message is a good message. I mean, if you're connecting with people, and that's really what podcasting has, the way it started and the way it still is, if you can produce a really nice professional product, plus you're connecting with people in a real way and doing their life some good, they connect with you and they stick around. We have people still listening to this day on the original RSS feed that we started back in 2005. Still today.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
What an accomplishment.
Yeah, they've stuck around for a long time.
Do you have a way nowadays of knowing the profile of the folks who are signing up for your RSS feed and how it's the same or how it's changed since 2005?
You know, I don't know that I mean, there's all kinds of statistics. The bottom line with the download is you really never know who's going to download it. And once they download it, you never know if they're going to actually listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of gave up on that. We use FeedBurner. We use some of the statistics that are out there. But I kind of gave up on it a long time ago. I know what my downloads are, and I know that they're growing, although they're a little more spread out than they used to be. They used to be back in the day, we used to get 20,000 a day just on iTunes. It's more like 5,000 or 6,000 a day now. There's just a lot more podcasts out there. But in terms of knowing who people are, I have a really good idea who they are because they communicate with me, because they respond to my email list, they respond to other things we do at the website, and over time I learned them. I'm basically a 38-year-old woman who is probably she's female, about 72%, about 38 years old, and we cap out about 48. I'm in the bucket list business right there at the mid-40s because I do self-improvement. And what I found is that we can talk more about how I actually get them over, because because knowing who they are and being able to communicate directly with them and if you will, trust-based marketing is really key to a podcast that I think a lot of people miss in making money out of it. We do ours a little differently because we're membership-oriented, and there are probably, what, 7 or 8 different models out there we could do. But as long as you know who's listening, and they will let you know, they'll shout out at you and let you know who they are, and you communicate back with them, you can do a lot with those people. They're pretty loyal.
Yeah, it would be wonderful. I would love if you would walk us through. So you were sitting there saying, I'm doing this, and now how do we monetize it?
Yeah, I had, I would like anybody else. I worked for free for a long time. It took me 18 months to make a dollar. And I don't know how much money I spent in that time period, but I knew fairly early on that I had to turn it into money or I couldn't do it forever. I was a television producer at the time, and I was tired of working 90-hour weeks. Well, there's a little thing kind of floating around out there called a membership site. And I thought it was a pretty good idea. There weren't too many back then in 2005. And I thought maybe a podcast would work. And so I sourced out some software. At the time, we used A-Member software. It's still available now and still does the job. We're not using it anymore, but I actually called them, and I said, listen, I think this will protect podcast feeds, because I realized that if I was going to have a membership site, I had to make sure that I didn't just give everything away constantly. I had to be able to control my content. And they said, no, it won't work. Forget about it. Don't even try it and mess everything else up. And I said, well, no, I don't think so. So we sat down. It took me 9 months to figure out how to get it going. And finally one day I got it going, and I launched. Now, it was kind of an interesting day that I launched, because I've been working on this for a while with my wife, and I was very excited, and we were actually going to move to Colorado. I figured this was the entrepreneurial dream. I'm going to move to Colorado, and I'm going to stay in the wintertime in a cabin in the mountains, and I'm going to write podcasts and write a book, and I'm going to start my whole new life. That was my plan.
Is he a romantic movie being birthed?
Oh, yes, you better believe it. But the summer it took 88 days. This was just before the markets crashed. Take 88 days to sell my house. When I did, I got 7 days notice to be out of my house. The day I was moving out was the first day I actually launched my commercial business, and God bless them, 30 people gave me $19.95 to be part of my podcast. And because I was moving out that day, I unplugged all my computers. I put them in a box. I said, okay, I'll put them back together Wednesday. Well, something else has been going on too that really kind of shaped who I am. You never know exactly what is going to get in your way, what obstacle you're going to have to overcome to be a success. Technical money, that's nothing compared to what most people have to go through to become a successful entrepreneur, because my wife had not been feeling good all summer either. She had cancer about 7 years before, and that summer wasn't feeling great, and we were just ready to go to the doctors and get the CAT scans and everything. The very same day that I was moving out of my house, the very same day that I went live with my first commercial business as a podcast, she got dehydrated and ended up in the hospital. By the time I could get to the hospital, about 3 hours later, she had a terminal diagnosis in her hands. The cancer had come back, had ravaged her body, and she was going to be leaving me, and there was nothing we could do about it. So you have to understand the premise here, that I was launching a motivational, inspirational business. And like a lot of entrepreneurs, wondering if I had what it took to do this kind of business. I was scared to death to take a shot at it and much less change people's lives. And I'm being given this ridiculous test to see if I can handle it. It's exactly how I saw it. Well, I think that's what it was. And so I had to put it aside. And for the next 100 days, I took care of her until she passed away. And then I made a key decision in my life. And the decision was, I don't know if this is how I see life. You know, I'm a make lemonades, sell lemons kind of guy. And I just looked at it and said, listen, this has been a terrible experience, but you know what? We made it the best we could. Nobody's bugging me right now, because everybody thought I was busy or grieving, and I was, but I knew I had to go on. I was only 46 years old. And so I made a decision. I said, I got 30 people who obviously love me. If I have 30, I can have a whole lot more. So I need to figure out how to get my website going again so I can start selling some more people. And along the way, I had been doing a weekly podcast, keeping them updated about what I've been going through, which is really key here, because that formulated what I do for a living now. Had I not been going through that and been that honest and that transparent and that truthful and that connected to my people, they would not have responded the way they did. And I still do it to this day now that I know how. But I didn't know then. I wasn't thinking that way. I was being real. I was engaging them in episodic and serialized programming. They were caught up in my life following the soap opera day by day, which they continue to do to this day. And I didn't even know at the time That would be the secret of what podcasting was and is now. It took me about 8 weeks to of a lot of crying and a lot of really – it's hard to be very upbeat and positive and motivating when your wife just died. You know, it's kind of hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yet I had marching orders from her. She told me I was going to go do it, and I did. It took about 8 weeks. I launched. When I launched with another 200 members that came in the door. That got me spurred up again. 5 months went by, and I just hit another launch again, and I put in a total of about 500 members. So literally from in a six-month time period, I took this podcast from being nothing to being a six-figure business in less than 6 months, and might I say having a pretty tough time during my life too. So I look back on it now, and I think, wow, that completely shaped and formed what I was able to do, and it started a journey that's been pretty amazing.
And you touched on something really vital a moment ago, which was that you were sharing what was going on in your life. I think a lot of folks who are thinking about how to shape their message, they have this idea of doing relationship building through technology, through the internet, through webinars, through teleseminars, through podcasts, and that they need to be sharing their expertise. And in fact, you touched on this really vital element of sharing oneself through this medium.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, my belief of experts are that your expertise should be evident. Experts tend to stand out. They tend to know what they're talking about. They tend to have an overabundance of information. They don't manipulate it. They don't make it up. They don't make a list of what their expertise is. It just kind of is. And when they open their mouth and they share it, people hear it and they can see them as an expert. But when you're trying to connect with people, what you have to do is you've heard the phrase, or maybe people haven't, you know, stories sell, facts tell. Most people go online and they just do facts, and facts are boring. We have too many facts. We have too much information out there. We are a social environment nowadays. We are people who live and breathe by the story, and which is nothing new. We've lived and breathed by the story since the days of cavemen. And so when you can go to your story in your natural expertise, and you haven't constructed your story, you didn't buy some internet marketing program that said you need these five elements for your story, you just tell your story. And Linda, you know that when we met at Brava, that I was testing stories out on you.
Exactly.
A lot of them. I was pinging them. Not only you, but because I have a female audience, I was pinging stories off all those ladies out there to see which ones they reacted to. And they're all true. There's nothing fake about any story I tell you. When people can get in that mode, when they can go to who they really are, because trust me, your life is more interesting than you know if you'll just pull the gems out of it. And then put the pieces up that don't just relate to you, but then, as I say, establish a point of connection with the person you're connecting with. So when I talk about my wife passing away, I don't do it to make anybody feel bad. I do it because almost everybody can connect with that feeling, even though only 1% of people my age ever lose a wife. Most people are married or have a husband or wife or they know somebody who has passed away. So it's a point of connection that is very true to me, and I simply put my expertise and put the other storylines I want to have meshed within that, and suddenly people are connected in an episodic and serialized manner, which is a couple of words you'll hear me say oftentimes, episodic and serialized. It's not ever anything that comes to an end. There is always something that is coming next. Tune in tomorrow.
Yeah, very important. I think, you know, I know that's one of the things I've needed to learn, and Jean and I have talked about. She's a masterful storyteller, and she shared the same thing. You know, Gina, you've talked so often about the need to shape the stories you're using.
Mm-hmm.
Which are the elements that create connection?
Well, stories are the key, I think, to building relationships. And to me, the key to building your business in a sustainable, scalable way is to use relationships in many different ways to build it. And so if stories are the key to relationships and relationships are the key to successful, sustainable business, then stories are the key to successful, sustainable business, right?
Mm-hmm.
The story that Scott just shared with us is a great example. You can't listen to that story and not really get a feeling about Scott. And for me, at least, hearing that story makes me want to know a lot more about Scott and what he knows and what he does, because it's a story that really touches you at an emotional level.
It's
you really are a master of storytelling, Scott.
Thank you. It is the tragedy to triumph storyline, but
right.
It's completely true,
right.
And that's what makes it work. And if I and one day we'll get together in another forum and you'll hear that story drawn out to about 25 minutes in all the detail.
I have one of those too.
Yeah, we all do. And trust me, you can't encapsulate your life in 5 minutes. It just doesn't work that way. But you know, stories are the key, and I find we live in stories, and all of us are growing at a certain point in time. And I know with my audience, which is fairly large, and the people who stayed with me, what I find is I'm actually going through life with them, and I'm going through their different stages of life with them. Some are younger than me, and some are older than me, and yet we're all passing through these stages together. And it's pretty interesting how it works, and the stories are what connects us. And it keeps them, you know, keeps them as customers of mine too. We have a 1% attrition rate on our membership site, which is unheard of.
Wow.
1%. Now, we charge $19.95 for a basic membership. A little pricey for a podcast, but very inexpensive for personal development. And I was actually saw a podcast yesterday that somebody was talking about how they had such a successful membership site. They had a fraction of the members I had, and they charged $29.95 a year. A year. They're selling facts, and they're not telling stories.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a different twist, because as soon as you get in that storyline, I become very valuable to just about anybody. And as long as I put the information they need, in fact, some I don't even need the information. I think they just want me to say hello to them in the morning. And that's okay. It's a connection. And I have friends all over the world. By the way, just a quick aside, I did a tour in California last June. And I did it was a vacation, kind of working trip. And I dubbed it my bed and breakfast tour.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you give us the bed and we'll make you breakfast. And
I love it.
Through a podcast audience, we stayed with a few people we had gotten to know over the years and we trust. And we had such a great time. We just had such great experiences. I've stayed all over the world doing that. We live in Orlando here. We get it's regularly, about every week and a half, somebody comes into town and wants to take us out to dinner because of how we've connected. And when we sit down and talk with them, they know everything about me, and I realize I know nothing about them. And I have to ask a lot of questions.
Your membership that you're referring to right now actually has two different themes to it. One of them is the fitness theme.
Mm-hmm.
The other is you've got the daily boost and the fitness boost.
Yeah.
And
yeah, we have. Oh, go ahead.
You've constructed them as 9-minute episodes each time.
Right.
So what's an example from either of those of how you wrap story in to that 9 minutes?
Well, we started out, to build this a little bit more, we started as a because I said I was a fat guy, I started as a fitness site, which is why it's called Motivation to Move. But we realized early on that motivation to move in every part of your life, and I realized that people had a problem with life, and that was making them fat and out of shape. And so that's when we added the kind of the personal development side to it. So the fitness boost was there. Then we brought the daily boost in, which is by far our more popular program. It's number one on iTunes today on self-help. We also have a new program called the business boost, which is coming in, and this has been a request from people that we've had that basically have seen the success I've had, and they want to learn to either do what I'm doing, but the biggest part of the market for that are people that need motivation every single day, like salesmen and entrepreneurs.
Mm.
Now, the reason for the nine minute segment, when I put that together, I this is my radio background coming into play here, and a few other things too. But the radio background came into play when I said, okay, how long does it take somebody to commute to work? Now, Linda, you're in Los Angeles. You don't count, okay?
I have the demon commute.
Right, but on average, it's about 18 or 19 or 20 minutes in that area. It's right there nationwide. And I knew that because I had done morning drive radio, so I knew what the drive time was. And so I said, I'll just make this podcast like 9 minutes because then it'll fit within whatever else they're doing while they're driving. And then suddenly I had the second one, so I said, wow, so they can listen to two podcasts on their way to work. And darn if it didn't work. Now, that's part of the thinking of getting into the 9-minute podcast. Nobody else had one either. They were all doing really long or really short. So that kind of came back around. I said, okay, there's this thing called the 5-minute executive read. And anybody who gets it, you know, if you give a report to somebody and they can read it in 5 minutes, life is good. I'd been in the production business and television production, and I knew that all these companies are making these 5-minute long videos out there to tell about their company. So, okay, there's something to do with this 5 or 6 minute thing. And so I didn't want to exceed that because I figured I could tell a nice story in 5 or 6 minutes. And in the end, what I learned was that if you watch a television show, there's usually 4 or 5 segments on a television show, but most of those segments are only 4 or 5 minutes long. So I just kind of stumbled on it based on experience. I said, well, I can tell a good story start to finish in 5 minutes' time. Any longer than that, I have to almost double or triple my time to tell my story. But then I had something else that I had to do, and this is where most people really miss what I do. If you listen to my program, you will hear 1.5 minutes of me just getting into the program, just starting. Mm. I establish who I am. I reestablish my brand. I tell them who I am. I tell them where I came from. I make sure they know part of my story. I get them up to speed on what happened yesterday and what happened last week and what's coming up next week. Oh, my gosh, let's get on with the show. And somewhere 2.5 to 3 minutes into the program, I start my program. But up to then, my audience, my raving fans, they love me because I'm updating them on my life. Now, when I get done with my program, I have about 60 seconds to go. I start the theme music. And the reason I don't just stop it and leave and say kind of inane things is these are my friends. I care about them. I want to make sure that they did well. And I give them a little assignment. Go out and try this today and let me know how it's going. And thank you. And I send them off with a pat on the back, or we call PYOTB. That's pat yourself on the butt and say, I've done good. You're your own best cheerleader. Have a good time with that. And we send them out the door. So the 9-minute length just fits right in there. And I continually see I see people try to do 9 minutes. I'll tell you, I think the only reason I can do 9 minutes is because I've done so much broadcast work for my entire life, and I can encapsulate that story very, very quickly. I actually occasionally will not start the timer, and you know I will stop at about 8:58 every time.
Oh, funny.
Every time. So, yeah, it's my little thing. It seems to work well, and people, they can grab them and run. We've done, by the way, just over 6,000 episodes.
And there's great learning in there for developing a framework to develop a skill for people who are new podcasters. Really understand that you've got the on-ramp of connecting before you're trying to teach or steer someone or suggest they do anything, is reestablish the relationship over and over and over again so that it lets them settle in and reconnect. And then it's not about filling up 45 minutes of hearing yourself talk. It's about figuring out how to shape that capsule of an idea and the motivation in it, and the entertainment value in it. And I think, if I remember correctly, when we were talking at the conference, you talked about the fact that you know for a fact that when it's a 9-minute episode, your people are listening to the same episode multiple times during the day.
Mm-hmm. Many times. Yeah, not only that, they'll go back in time and listen to it. And they encourage me to do the same, to do episodes again. They like it when I do that. I actually, every week, at least twice, sometimes 3 times a week, I go back on episodes I did 4 or 5 years ago, and I pull the show prep that I have from there, and I redo the episode with the old show prep, but the new experience. So it's a whole different show.
Mm.
And they love the fact that I've grown 4 or 5 years in the process, and I can extend it another couple of inches. They do listen several times. We provide them daily for people. About 60% of our audience actually downloads and listens to a new one every single day. The other 40% take advantage of a feature where they can download the entire week in advance. And many of them will go on long bike rides or treadmill runs or whatever, and they'll listen to my entire week all in one shot. There seems to be a theme. People tell me this all the time. I don't try to make a theme, but they will tell me there is one, that if I do 5 Daily Boost episodes, we talk about how I record them and everything, but I do them in one shot, and everybody says there's a theme. Well, the theme is this. I believe that we all are feeling something in this universe we're in. And if I'm just paying attention to life and paying attention to what people are saying to me, I'm probably going to have the same thoughts and same worries and same ideas that they're going to have. And so the shows that I do tend to follow that kind of theme. So there's nothing planned. But, you know, if I'm feeling people are stressed, am I feeling that way, you're going to see a week of shows where I'm going to be kind of off on the stress relief thing. It just depends on where the folks are, where I feel they are. That's a little organic for me, but I found the more I do that and the less I rely on complete prep, I just a couple of bullet points and go, and rely on what my gut says, attrition rates go they go down, nobody leaves me, they keep staying, and my life gets easier.
Fascinating. And do you do anything differently between the two shows, between the Daily Boost and the Fitness Boost?
The fitness boost, one of the hallmarks I think that I have is that I tend to be a pretty funny guy on the shows. I'm pretty upbeat. I'm very much not your daddy's motivational speaker. I like to rattle their cage a little bit and make them think, hey, come on, man, be serious. This is life we're talking about. I like to have fun. So the daily boost may be a little bit more serious because it is kind of more life. The fitness boost is all about it's more upbeat, a little bit more irreverent because it is about something really boring for most people, walking on the treadmill. Generally, though, they're about the same. The fitness boost also, I bring my wife into the program on Tuesdays and Thursdays. That was a hard thing when I put her here because I have a broadcast background. She doesn't. And as my new wife, I should say, as beautiful as she is and as beautiful a voice as she has, they weren't used to her. And it took about 3 years to get them used to her. Now I think I could walk away from the fitness boost and she could do the whole thing herself now. They've accepted her. It took a while to get them there, though.
You also do something on Saturday, which is different.
Yeah, it's this is one that people have advised me again and again not to do. But my members love it. We call it the Insider, and essentially it's a completely non-scripted show between my wife and I. It's 30 minutes long, and it was originally, and it still is, we call it the MTM Insider. It is the MTM Front Porch. And the vision is that if you were to walk down our street and you would find us on our front porch, this is what we'd probably be talking about. And you never know what we're going to do. It's typically pretty irreverent and very funny. Sometimes it gets really serious, and frankly, it's gotten really dirty a few times. And we envision our listener to be vacuuming the house or cleaning the pool or mowing the lawn, listening to us on their iPod on Saturday morning when they hear this very lightweight show that also has a lot of nuggets in it. Because people listen to people like us because we walk the talk in terms of fitness and everything that we do, and they pick up gems along the way by listening to us speak. So we purposely don't prep it. We just sit down and literally we just go and do it. And it's a big hit with our audience. The gurus have told me not to do it. They said, you're exposing yourself. You're being too real. You know, nobody's going to like you if you do that. You got to be more serious. I'm like, but you don't have a membership site and your people don't stick around like mine do. So I must be doing something right.
It really is that Saturday show that is what causes you to have such a low attrition rate, Scott.
I think so. I hadn't put that together, I think, until I just said it to you. But I think you're right about that, yeah.
No question asked.
Yeah, and
most
gurus
don't get this, right?
Yeah,
open, honest, and transparent you can be, the more people will feel like you are a part of their lives and that they are a part of yours, and they will not only stay longer in talking about themselves, they will start bringing up your name and therefore bring everybody they know to you. Not because they want to make money as an affiliate, just because you've touched them in a way that nobody else has.
I think so. And, you know, another twist, and Linda, you're out in L.A. land, so you would get this reference for sure, you too, Gina, but we have a 72% female marketplace. Linda, you and I have met. You know my vibe is very positive female anyway.
Exactly.
Mostly I fit real in, very low-key kind of guy, very different than on the podcast. I tend to go a little bit over the top. But strategically thinking, on my MTM Insider show, that's with my wife. I sit in the position of basically being the dumb husband on TV. I take that role. I allow her to basically kind of just, have some fun with me. And we never give up the guru position because I have to have that status in terms of being able to teach people. And it never goes away because I'll come right back and I'll start teaching you or something. But then she'll make fun of me. So what happens is I become extremely approachable, I guess, because in a good relationship, one of the best things about any relationship, I know you guys talk about relationships a lot, but I coach it quite often. I keep telling men and women, I said, you've got to get vulnerable. At some point, you've got to show you're not Superman. Remember, if you're a leader of a group, you're not only the leader of the group, you're also a member of the group. The chief is a member of the same tribe. He's not some foreign guy that comes in. So when I do my program on Saturday, my attempt, what I'm trying to do, is be just like that typical husband that the wife listening to our show can relate so much to me, and yet also be maybe a step above and make them think, wow, I wish I had that guy, because then, they have an attraction level for me. And the formula seems to work fairly well, probably because Joy is so good at putting me in my place naturally. But we do it in all good fun.
Right. It's done with a naturalness that the person listening can project themselves into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that works with just about anybody. A lot of podcasts, I end up coaching people many times and they want to do a podcast and they're just obsessing with it. And I tell them two things. First off, just make it good content. Make sure what you say is legit. And just relax. That's kind of the first two things I tell them. And then here's something I think I really wanted to share with your audience who might be interested in podcasting. There is an element that I learned as a broadcaster when I did morning shows. And that element is this. If you listen to the morning show on the radio, it sounds as if there are a bunch of chuckleheads in the studio just laughing about themselves. And if you don't dig down deep into that and really listen closely, you might think that that's what you're supposed to do when you do a podcast. Hey, I just come in and tell stories about myself. Life is going to be good. People just love me. And you find they don't listen. It used to happen in radio all the time. Newbies would come in and try to take over a morning show, or they would complain about the morning show, and they didn't understand what was going on. What they weren't getting was, as much as these morning guys sounded like big chuckleheads laughing about themselves, all of it was projected out to the audience, talking about the audience, relating to the audience life. The audience could live and feel and breathe through the host of the show, and they connected to them. It wasn't about the host of the show. It was about the audience.
Mm-hmm.
If I can get a podcaster to make it about the audience, even though the stories, because I tell a lot of stories about myself, and yet if you listen to the stories, they're projected as a mirror almost back to the audience. I'm looking at their life and making that point of connection in there. And I can always tell when I get off, because as soon as I get off a little bit about me, I'll get an email. It's all about you. It doesn't happen very often, but I can tell when it happens.
Yeah, and so it really comes down to the art of storytelling for connecting with the audience, not in order to create your giant autobiography verbally online.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of folks just getting into it, they've never thought about that. They've downloaded a couple hundred podcasts. They listen to their favorites. They've connected with the person they're listening to, and they just want to be like them.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't thought it through to figure out what the strategy was and the technique to actually make that happen. And it's really just as simple as like when you write an email, putting the word you in there a lot. Good direct marketing email, just put a you and just turn it into all about the customer, make it benefit them completely, and you'll get the benefit of that entirely.
Here's how my good friend Simon Mainwaring, who's been a past guest on this show, describes it. Simon is the author of a book called We First, which is really a book about what he calls social branding, telling the story of your brand and the good it does in the world using the power of social media. Simon calls this becoming the biggest celebrant of your brand instead of being the celebrity in your brand.
Ah, great idea.
And that's really what you're
it.
Doing in your stories. You're becoming the biggest celebrant of the brand and the stories that the brand is creating for other people as well as yourself.
I hadn't thought about that. That's a great idea. I am, like a lot of people, I think I'm the least savvy about this personally of anybody I know. I'm in my wheelhouse right now. This is just what I do. And I get in the middle of it and I just do my thing. And if you were to pull me out of it, like we're doing right now, it's like, well, yeah, I guess that's exactly what we do. But no, just in the middle of it, but you're exactly right. Become the celebrant. That's so. I'm writing that down because that's a key distinction for me today.
It's one of my very favorite quotes from Simon. Simon has
really
a lot of brilliant stuff, but that is one of my very favorite things.
Simon has a brilliant series of quotes and a fabulous foreign accent. One of those
cool
ones we all crave to have nowadays when we're working in this audio medium.
Yeah.
He's at wefirstbranding.com if you want to see his stuff.
Yeah.
Fascinating guy.
Really remarkable.
Yes.
So you mentioned a couple of times that you will coach people and advise them as they're setting up their podcasts. Are there, you know, key 5 must-dos and 5 please-don't-dos when people are thinking about becoming podcasters?
Yeah, I think the first thing is, you know, why the heck are you going to do it? I mean, what's going on here? Really make sure you want to do it and think through the reasons for it. People will not listen to you just ramble. There's a lot going on here, and you have to know where it's going to drive to. What's the ends here? What ends up happening is this. People will do a podcast. They'll do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, something like that. And then they do what we used to call in the olden days. I don't think they call it anymore. They call it pod fading. And that
yes.
was people do three or four and you never hear from them again?
Mm-hmm.
I think they do still call it pod fading. I've heard that term many times in the recent
past. I didn't know. I technically don't really consider myself a podcaster. It's a distribution medium for me, and it's something that I about to use to get it out there. So I don't hang around a lot of podcasters, but what I always tell them is this: when they want to do this, you know, number one, first and foremost, make sure you really want to do it. You're going to have to do this for a long time. Nobody's going to connect with you anyway. You're going to make no money unless you just put the time and the effort and love what you're doing. It's just not. It's like writing a book. Why write the book if you don't really, truly have something to say in the book? So do it. It's going to sit on the shelf. You'll check it off your bucket list and be done. And if that's what you want to do, fantastic. So first and foremost, make sure that you're really, really going to enjoy doing that. Podcasting is a very unique thing because I've often said, you know, audio, and you guys being in audio know this, it is the most intimate form of media in the world. Nothing more intimate. You put it in your body. You put it in your ears to listen to it. You take it in the shower with you. It's in the car with you on long trips. There is nothing more intimate than audio. So you have to take that really seriously when you do this because people are right there with you. People many times will say to me, Scott, you feel like you're talking right to me. I am. So I tell people when they get in, make sure they love it and they're willing to communicate and go that way. Secondly, you kind of want to make sure that you're professional with it. A lot of people think that they can start with their little laptop and make a podcast, and yes, they can. But let me tell you, the world is changing. Podcasting is growing in leaps and bounds right now. It's because all the broadcasters are running from terrestrial radio into podcasting. They're setting up membership sites. Advertisers, we just had a big Pod One launch recently. They're bringing in major, major players now. So you are now up against the best of the best. Same thing that happened in desktop publishing back in the 80s and 90s. Everybody thought they could do it. Well, now all the big boys are coming to play. So if you're going to play in podcasting, you need to have good content. Love that you're going to do it. Set out with a quality product, and also have a plan to monetize on the other side of it, because you won't do anything forever for free. There has to be some kind of monetization model behind your podcast. Guess that's what I would start.
Great suggestions for everyone. So you have two different sets of podcasts, right? You have one that's behind the protection of the members area, and then you have another one that's, say, out on iTunes that helps to drive the traffic. Is that right?
Yeah. Less than I used to. Again, things have changed over time. We used to give away a whole lot more for free than we do now. At this point, I give away 1 9-minute podcast per week, and that's all I do. Because, you know, in this world where everybody wants to give away more and more for free, you know, you're becoming a commodity. And it's worse than ever now. And the challenge is, you know, you have to build your value. And when you do that, the price will become elastic and you can actually charge more. Most people don't have those skills. So I realized a long time ago I needed to compete, have a little bit of supply and demand. And so I went down to 9 minutes a week. And that's all I do. I do the daily boost for 9 minutes a week on iTunes, and that's it. Now, I will also go out, and we'll do some webinars and teleseminars sometimes. But I have a really strong funnel that works exceptionally well, and I've had it in place. I've had lots of different things I've been doing, but this one has worked fabulously well, and I'm not going to move off of it because it works so well. If you'd like, I can go through the funnel a little bit and show how I get my people in.
Oh, would I ever. That would be extremely helpful for our listeners.
Okay, the first thing to think of with the podcast, iTunes is the 800-900-pound gorilla. I don't know which one it is. It's one of those. While there are other directories that are coming on board, and there have been thousands before, iTunes is the place to go. 94% of your audience will be iTunes. I don't worry about anybody else. I just worry about iTunes. And people say, hey, support these other ones. No, I'm not going to. It's not worth my time. It's the 80-20 rule in effect. Now, iTunes is nothing more than a search engine. So therefore, you must use your RSS feed to optimize your iTunes search page, meaning the words, the titling that you use, the way you name your podcast, the description. Everything about your iTunes page needs to be optimized just as a search engine. If you optimize it properly, it's just like being on the number one page of Google. I, for the life of me, cannot understand why more people don't do it. I have optimized my page now for 5 years, and people have been catching up the last 2 years, but still, most people don't do it. So number one, standard SEO, get on iTunes and optimize your page. Now, my funnel is very interesting. I used to sell my membership site. I would say, go join my membership, become a member of motivationmove.com. It's the best thing in the world you can do right now. Go do it. Well, you know, a lot of people would sign up the minute I said that. But also a lot of people get mad at me. And I realized I was breaking the trust relationship I had with the podcast. So what I decided to do was go back into trust and go into reciprocity and give them something free. But I tied it together in a way that really works well, and here's exactly what I did. I have a program called Face Your Passion. This is a six-module program that originally sold for $300. It is still a mastermind program that I do every single month for people. But the original program was $300, and I sold through a podcast, by the way. I drove to a webinar, and I sold $188,000 worth of Face Your Passion in 20 minutes through a podcast.
Wow.
So there's a number for you. So what I did was I actually did this two times. Second time was far less than that. But I was looking at my retention, and I based this on the model that, well, you know, people don't like to buy membership sites. Why? Because they don't want to buy a monthly payment. What do they really want? They want an instant result. They don't want to wait for my monthly membership to give them a result 9 months down the road. Once they get into membership sites, if they see the value, they stay forever. But you've got to get them to cross over. So I've known this forever, which is one of the reasons I've been able to make this work. But I took it up a notch. I guess it was January a year ago, I decided I was going to put Face Your Passion inside my membership site. So what I did was this. I went out and I went on my podcast and I said, by the way, I'd open the show and I'd say, by the way, have you heard about my top 10 motivational truths you must know to face your passion? It's amazing. It's going to change your life. We've downloaded like 50,000 times. It's a great program. It's free. You should get it. I'll tell you where to get it in just a minute, so get your pencil and paper ready. Now, why did I make them wait? I make them wait 8 minutes. It does no sense to download my free product if you haven't liked me to begin with. So after 8 minutes of listening to my podcast, you decide I'm okay with you, and I finally tell you where to go get it. I've also held you back a little bit and created a little bit of temptation there for you. But what happens is they go over there, and they download my product. They then are falling into a series of about six autoresponders designed to introduce them to what I do otherwise. But the product they get, the top 10 motivational truths you must know to face your passion, is the webinar that I did to launch Face Your Passion. But what I did was I re-recorded it. We talked about points of connection. We talked about getting people to like you. I realized that it was very likely that you were hearing one podcast from me. You only had 9 minutes of my time. And therefore, if I wanted to get you in my membership site, you needed to know me a little better than that. So I restructured my program, the Top 10 Motivational Truths, to make sure each and every truth I told had a part of my storyline. So by the end of the program, you got to know who I was. You knew my story. You were comfortable with me. You could relate to me. During the course of the program, I also mentioned this is based on Face Your Passion. Didn't tell them where, didn't tell them anything about it, just mentioned it was based on that. I got about 15 minutes into the program. I said, well, I've mentioned this is based on Face Your Passion. Did you know that that's included with the MotivationToMove.com membership? And by the way, we have a 7-day free trial, so you can come in and you can actually get the first module of Face Your Passion. You can actually get on the first Face Your Passion coaching call for free. It won't cost you anything. And you can try everything else we do, too. And if you like it, you can stay. Well, what happens is, of all the people we drive over there, we get about a 65% opt-in going into our free trial, or into our free trial. Once I get them in a free trial, I'm converting to paid at 96%.
Wow.
So if I can get them in there, they stay. But notice the emphasis is completely on benefit to them and getting them to understand my story and see that I relate to them.
Yeah.
I do this on fitness. I do it on everything else. We're getting ready to redo things. My website is actually – it's funny because we've had some technical issues for the past year we've had to fix, and I've not dealt with the front of my website. Somebody did that for me, and it's been a great experience because, you know what, it really doesn't completely explain what I do, yet the funnel is so strong it drives members every single day. So that's how my funnel works, and anybody can do that, and it takes a little bit of work, yeah, but it warms people up so much that when they finally get to me, they just love me and they just want to be part of my world.
Well, my students hear me over and over again telling them that everything you do in your business is really about positioning. And what you just described of how you move them into the funnel It's really positioning, dropping the little hints along the way about face your passion, not necessarily telling them they've got to buy it or they've got to download it, just dropping those little hints is really by design leading them to the message at the end of how to go and get it. It's brilliant, Scott.
One of the ways a little exercise I can give to the entire audience is when they go out today, listen to the radio. Now, commercial radio is kind of a mess, and you may not like the commercials and all the hype they have on it. It's a whole different world these days. But listen closely to the people that are on it, the announcers, and listen to how they drop little five-second commercials in, little awareness ads. They'll just say something.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to be out live tonight at this so-and-so bar. Come see me. That's all they say. They're masterful at what they do. And that's exactly what I'm doing on these programs. But like you said, positioning with purpose. I'm putting breadcrumbs out and taking them where I need to go. And then I'm following the standard traditional thought of you know, if I bring up an objection, I have to solve it. And if I say something, it creates another objection. I better have another answer for that. And then I better shut my mouth once I get them there. So, yeah, it's exactly. It's just positioning. You're right.
And it's what I call serving to the best of your ability while strategically monetizing at the same time.
My,
you don't
have fancy
to hesitate, don't I?
You're fancy.
Well, you don't have to hesitate from dropping these little hints about face your passion, thinking to yourself, oh, God, I just gave them a golden nugget for free, because you are strategically monetizing. The more you serve, the more money you're going to make in the end.
I have a story. Years ago, I was doing video production, and I had a Korean Taekwondo master that was doing a videotape, and I was recording the tape. And I think it was only about a 35 or 40 minute tape. It wasn't very long. And I was telling him, I said, "Come on, man, you got to give us more information. Just talk, just teach, give me detail." And he literally stopped. He says, "I am not going to tell them everything I know. That's what they have to pay me coaching for."
And I said,
"Sir, with all due respect, if you can tell me everything you know in a 40-minute videotape, I don't need to be talking to you."
Right.
Experts.
Wow.
An abundance of knowledge. And if you're in your wheelhouse and in your passion, you should be willing to share. And the reality is, I could sit here. I've not held back one bit on this phone call. There are some people listening to what I just said on this call that will go out and set up a funnel and get it working and do everything they need to be doing. But you know what? A lot of people can't. Why? I'm not holding back from you. It's just I can't tell you all the little subtleties that are there. You might need my help. Maybe not. I don't know. Somebody will, though. I know that.
I know that,
Go ahead.
I know that, too. So let's tell them how they can find you before we forget to do that by the end of the show.
Yeah, you know what? Easiest way to do this, and this is the way the easiest way is go to motivationtomove.com, and I break all the rules of opt-ins. In fact, people call me all the time and say, "Scott, where's your opt-in?" Well, it's being fixed right now, but it works really well because people are so curious they come looking for it. So just go to motivationtomove.com, look at the bottom. It'll say free MP3 download. Grab that because immediately you're going to be put into the system. We use Infusionsoft, among some other things. And you'll be put in the system, and you'll see how the funnel runs. Listen to a little bit about what I do, and then I would sign up for the free trial right away, because then you can hear the daily programs, and you can hear the serial and episodic approach to how I do things. And you're going to have a lot of fun with it. And then if I'm really, really being wise, I would suggest that you want to help me maintain my 96% conversion, and you don't want to cancel that free trial. Because, the experience is what it's all about, and that's how you can totally experience all this stuff. But all joking aside, that's really the best way to see what we do here. That'll get you into Face Your Passion, get you into all the daily programs, and then, of course, feel free to shoot me an email anytime also if you happen to hear this program. I'll be happy to help you any way I can.
Oh,
and I
thank
know
you
that
so
this,
much for that.
Today, this episode is going to be one of the ones that people do listen to over and over again because of the frankness with which you described not only bringing the personal into it, but literally how to marry that in a very natural sense with creating a sustainable business. So,
there's nothing wrong with that. You have to do that. You have to. If we don't make money, we can't help anybody, can we?
Exactly.
No, we really can't.
Yeah.
And you know, the bottom line is, if we just go out and serve, give it away, the person we're giving it to doesn't really value it enough to really use it and consume it and get the results we want for them to get. if we're not getting them to buy something, it really isn't serving them very well at all.
Gina, are you like me? Did you used to not to believe that? I used to hear people
I did.
Say that. I would hear them
but
say
it,
and go,
it
yeah.
It is so true.
It is so true. There is a universal shift in energy when you do that. And when you got some skin in the game, you change. And the other thing is when somebody exchanges money with you and you get to give them a service that is amazingly valuable, you know, you are now given the ability to do more good because you've got the
Absolutely.
Energy there and you can amplify that energy. But no, I used to sit in seminars all the time and be like, I'm a creative guy. I didn't come from a business background. I was like, yeah, that guy's just trying to sell me stuff. And little did I realize that, yeah, he was, and it was the right thing to do because I do the same thing. We have to, but we do it within our comfort level. I was just reading Daniel Pink's new book and about all of us being salesmen these days. And really what we do now is every single one of us, because we have Facebook and Twitter accounts, we're all selling constantly. But marketing is really what I do, and all that's doing is answering every question you have, taking away all your pre-sale questions so that you just finally come to the conclusion covertly, because that's the most powerful way. You say, man, I got to hear more from this guy. You
yeah.
do that, you never sell a thing again in your life.
It's exactly what I do in my own business. It
I know.
Works
I know
really, really well, doesn't it?
It works fantastically well. It's the way, yeah, absolutely. I'm, I wish I'd learned it about 15 years ago. But then I read last night that Harry Dent, who does a lot of consumer research marketing, that
yeah.
said entrepreneurs don't become incredibly successful and fully realize their wealth until they're 56 years old. I got 3 years to go. I'm almost there.
I love it.
That's awesome. I got 7. Yay.
Hey.
Oh, dear. I'm running up against deadlines.
Oh. Yeah,
but I will say, what you just shared is really valuable because we spend so much time with attitudes about, quote, selling. We don't speak about marketing, and marketing is where the relationship building takes place.
It's where the magic happens.
Very true.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, I am so appreciative of everything that you've shared with us today. If we have people who have podcasts underway and they haven't found them getting traction, I suspect that they'd find as much value as going into the beginning of your funnel and experiencing it and really rethinking what they're doing and how they're doing it, just putting themselves back in the beginner's mindset, take on the attitude of being a newbie and really seeing how they can amp their podcast and what they're trying to use it for to serve, take it up to the next level.
I suspect also, and I'll go one step further, if there's somebody in the audience who is doing that, and wants to get in my funnel and converts to a paid member, it's only $19.95, I'm not asking for a lot of money, then you can send me an email. And if you send me an email, we'll get on the phone, I'll spend some time with you, and we'll talk it out, because I'll learn from you, and you can learn from me. And I'm not going to try to sell you coaching unless you want that. I'm just offering to help if I can. But again, back to the skin of the game thing. I'm saying go through the process, at least go $20 in. Is that worth a phone call to me? I think it is. I'll be happy to do that.
Absolutely.
And CutSight is really easy to navigate. So, again, it's motivationtomove.com. Just scroll to the bottom and download that free MP3 audio and then go get set up with your free trial.
Awesome. I can't wait to see this happen. It's probably happening as we speak.
Inside secret. I'm going to be doing it myself.
Are you? Cool. I'll see your name when it pops in here. We're one of the few people, Nora, I know we have to go. We just completed our integrations with Infusionsoft. We're one of the few in the world actually running podcasts through Infusionsoft now. And
wow.
Took me 10 months to get there, but I got it working now.
Oh, that's awesome, Scott. Well, for all of our listeners who are now not hearing us because it's only in the recording, thank you so much for being here, Scott. I really appreciate it. I'm going to go tell all my coaching students to go over and get signed up, too. They really need to see what you're doing over there on motivationtomove.com.
Well, I very much appreciate you having me today, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Linda. And we will be back next Tuesday at noon Eastern for another episode of Breakthrough Directions. Thanks so much, Linda, for arranging this.
Oh, my pleasure. See you all next week.
Join us Tuesday at noon Eastern for the next episode of Breakthrough Directions, from relationship marketing to business success.